Please listen as I read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink in one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have not need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. And God has appointed in his church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? All prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Amen. May God grant his understanding to us for his words.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. So in a former life, I worked for our denomination and worked in the office of the district superintendent, the bishop, which I won't describe all that to you. You don't have time for that. But I worked with about 30 different churches across our denomination, across this area. And there was one church in particular that I had visited in worship and had been working with the pastor and resourcing them. And part of the situation for that church was the church was in a rural area and there were new homes being built around that church. And the new folks that were moving into those homes were young families and they were starting to come to the church. And so there was this new influx of people coming into the church. And then there had been the people that had been a part of that church their whole lives. And they had served the church and sacrificed and given to the church for decades to that church. And what began to emerge in the church was basically two groups. The new people that were coming in and the people that had been there a long time. And you could start to see that there was a clear division in the ranks, to the point in which there was conflict that arose, and not all conflict's bad, but sometimes it gets in the way of ministry, and conflict had arose, and I got a call to come in and sit down with their leadership because some of the leaders wanted to get rid of the pastor who was bringing in the new people. Well, we can't have that, you know, so I went into the meeting, and I sat down, I listened, and there were people in the meeting on both sides of this issue, and the new people, the people that had only been around a couple years, and the people who had been around for decades, and you could see the tension and the struggle and the conflict, and really I was asked to come in to say, to re to give them a new pastor. This pastor had actually been come out of retirement to serve the church. This pastor had already retired. He'd come out of retirement to serve, and the church started to grow again. And so my assessment and all I could tell is this is a pastor who had served for 30-some years in our denomination and had a great track record, and here this pastor was in this church, and now the church was growing, and I'm kind of scratching my head going, what's the problem? But there were some leaders that wanted to get rid of the pastor. So let's call in old Matt, right? He'll figure this out for us, right? But you could clearly see, and you can understand, and probably you get that there were two groups of people. There was division in the church. And what you heard today was from 1 Corinthians, a letter to the Corinthians, and there was division in that church. Why? And part of the reason that Paul writes this about the body of Christ, about unity in the body of Christ, is because the church had been divided. In fact, in Corinth, which was a very wealthy city and a multicultural center, is that there were house churches in the church of Corinth. And so Paul wrote letters back and forth to the whole church, but it was a group of house churches, and there was a house church of Jewish people and a house church of Greek people. And so they didn't always get along. And then there was a house church of people who were wealthy, and then there was a house church of people who were the working poor in Corinth serving those people, and they were divided. And then there were people in the church who said, we follow this pastor, his name is Apollos. And there was another house church that said, we follow Paul, and that's our pastor. And they were divided over who their leader was and who the leader they wanted to follow. So there were divisions in the church in Corinth that Paul writes this letter to and says to them, there's one body. Even though you have all these different parts, all these different house churches, all these different groups, there's one church, there's one body. There's, in fact, one Holy Spirit in all the parts of the body. It's like the bloodstream. Your blood carries oxygen and nutrients to different parts of the body. It carries oxygen and nutrients to your foot, which is one part of the body, and it carries the same oxygen and nutrients to the hand, right? So what Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that's at work in the foot, is the same Holy Spirit that's at work in the hand, that's at work in the nose, that's at work in the brain, that's at work in the heart. It's the same, all a part of the same Holy Spirit. And that's what creates unity. When we listen and pay attention to and get on board with the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, well, Paul actually addresses the issue because some people raise the question, well, how will we know what's the Holy Spirit and what's not the Holy Spirit? How do you know that in the church? Paul actually says that earlier in the chapter in verse 3. He says that no one can say without the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. He says anybody who stands up and professes Jesus as Lord, that's the Holy Spirit. They can't do that without the work of the Holy Spirit in them. So anybody who claims the lordship of Jesus Christ, who says, I am under the reign of Jesus Christ, that's the Holy Spirit working in them, and trust that. And because they're trusting in the lordship of Christ, not just in themselves. And so the Holy Spirit's working through them. So I find this to be true. When I've traveled in mission work and taught other places, I've traveled to Egypt, and I'm with Arabic-speaking Egyptians in the Christian church surrounded in a Muslim culture, and I sense that even though I can't understand the language, I don't understand everything about the culture, there is the same spirit between us. There is unity, even though I've never met these people before, even though they're a different church, different culture, different language. When I go to Mexico, I can speak a little bit of the language, but it's a different language, different culture, same spirit. When I go to Costa Rica, different culture, different language, same spirit. When I've been to Israel and the Palestinian Christians, different language, same spirit. So what the Spirit does is the Spirit is always crossing socioeconomic lines, ethnic lines. The Holy Spirit is always not taking those things into factors, right? Into consideration. So the Holy Spirit's not looking at you're rich, you're poor, you're of this culture, you're of that culture. The Holy Spirit's not doing it. The Holy Spirit is looking at, do you claim Jesus is Lord? And are you given gifts from the Holy Spirit that can serve the body of Christ? That's the other thing Paul brings up, is this giftedness within the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is gifting each of us and arranging each of us in the body of Christ to serve the mission of the church and the mission of Christ. But I would say to you that what he is concerned about is that we would, that the body of Christ would have missing body parts. You know, that there would be missing parts of the body of Christ. And he actually says there's two ways of thinking that leads to missing body parts in the body of Christ. And these two ways of thinking, the first one is how we think about ourselves. We might say to ourselves, I don't belong, right? You may be in a church or someplace and you may feel like you don't belong there. That's what you believe about yourself within this community. And so you may say to yourself, or you may have some thinking that says, I don't belong here. And sometimes that way of thinking is not necessarily the Holy Spirit when we think that way. But that's one of the things that Paul points out. The other way of thinking is not what we think about ourselves, but what we start believing about other people in the church. So we start saying to other people or community, and we would come right out and say it probably, but we start to communicate, I have no need of you. You know, this type of communication that says, well, we really don't need you, which is what was going on in the church I mentioned earlier, was they were saying to one particular member of the body of Christ, the pastor, we have no need of you. We don't want you here anymore. And they were pretty clear about it, to me anyway. So they were saying to this pastor, I have no need of you. And then maybe he started to think, I don't belong here, right? Or vice versa. So this happens. I would suggest to you, too, the other thing that's concerning me, and I've mentioned this before today, is not only are we being divided along socioeconomic lines, not only are we being divided by cultural, ethnic lines, but I would say, and you probably would agree with me, aren't we being divided now by political lines? And I would suggest to you it's not the Holy Spirit. We may have different perspectives. We may have different politics, but that's not the issue if we claim Jesus is Lord. Because we can let those politics start to make us think, I don't belong, or I have no need of you because of whatever way you voted in the election. Just go with me hypothetically here. So let's say you voted for Trump and you went to a church where nobody voted for Trump and all they did was complain about Trump. What would you be saying to yourself? I don't belong here, right? And or they may be communicating in all the things, you know, and if they ever said, anybody who voted for Trump's and whatever, fill in the blank, right? Then what they would be communicating to you, I have no need for you, right? Or you could flip that around. Let's say you didn't vote for Trump, you can't stand Trump. And you go to a church and they got Trump signs in the lawn. You know, they are happy, they're rejoicing. And when you go in and all they're doing is rejoicing about Trump and they're even praying in this pulpit and saying, oh, we thank God, you know, what do you start to think about yourself? I don't belong, right? Or if they start saying stuff, you know, and if they start saying anybody who didn't vote for Trump, right, is a fill in the blank, right? Then they're saying, I have no need of you. That's not the Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit is not worried about political lines. The Holy Spirit is worried about, is Jesus Lord, not your politics? Is Jesus Lord, not your party Lord? Because when we come together in the church, we all come to claim Jesus is Lord, and the same Holy Spirit is working through all of us and gifting all of us, and we make up the body of Christ, regardless of our political affiliations, regardless of our socioeconomics, regardless of our ethnicity. The Holy Spirit is working through all of us. It's the same Spirit, and that brings about unity, not division. But when you're feeling divided, when you're feeling like I don't belong, or they have no need of me, or that's being heard, well, the other option then we then exercise is we leave the body. We opt out of faith. We opt out of church. And I know many people today who have left the church, and they're not going to church anywhere. They're not a part of a body of Christ. They're Christians. They have faith in Christ, but I would question lordship. Because you can have that faith, you can have that Christianity, you can have all those things, but I think the lordship of Jesus Christ will call you to mission and to service in the body. Because it's the Holy Spirit there. But I understand how difficult it is to be in the body sometimes. I understand how difficult it can be, but the other option, Paul says, is not an option for the body of Christ. Because the other option that we start to exercise is, I'm just going to take my gifts and go home, right? I'm going to take my gifts and I'm going to go home because either I believe I don't belong or someone else has said they have no need of me. And so I withdraw from the body and I say, I'm taking my gifts and going home. Paul says that's not an option either. Verse 12, 19, he says, if all were a single member, where would the body be? Right? Where would the body be? Being a Christian is not a solo activity. It is a community activity. It happens in community. We are the body of Christ together. Here's the point, folks. Community is messy, but necessary. Community is messy, but it's necessary. It is needed. Here's the thing about community. We're with other people who don't think like us, who sometimes don't act like us, and guess what? They're not perfect because they don't think exactly like we do. They can't be perfect if they don't think like us, right? You all don't all agree with me 100% of the time, do you? Yeah. But that's the way the body of Christ works, right? It's not about the imperfections in the body. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. If we continue just to focus on the imperfections, the divisions, we will not experience unity. We will not get on board with the Holy Spirit's work and mission under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be imperfect. Everybody here is imperfect and brings some imperfections with them into the church. That's the messy part, isn't it? That makes community messy. But we still, it's necessary. We still need each other. We still need to be a part of the body because everyone's gifts is important to the body of Christ. You all are needed in the body of Christ. Your gifts, who God made you to be, is needed in the body of Christ. That's what Paul's saying. We can't say, I have no need of you to anyone, really, who says Jesus is Lord. Because they have a gift that they bring. Can you imagine? I'm a Redskin fan, but I'm going to use the Ravens this morning for you guys. I'm doing this for you guys. So can you imagine Joe Flacco gets in the huddle? He takes the snap of the football. He's called to play in the huddle. He drops back, and he looks out there, and there's no receiver to pass the ball to. That's somebody who took their gifts and went home, who said, yeah, community's too messy. I'm out of here, right? Do you think Steve Smith and Flacco always get along? I've heard some things about Steve Smith. I don't know how they got. This is not ESPN right now. Sorry, this is not the Ocho. This is not whatever around the horn. All right, but what I'm saying is that they need to be a team. They have to realize that they have a place on the field. And if everybody doesn't huddle up, hear the play, and if people don't show up where they need to be, the team is weaker for it. Actually, you can't win a Super Bowl if not everybody is on the field. If you don't field a full team, if you don't have all the gifts on the field, you can't win a Super Bowl. In fact, you can't even win a single game if people are missing from the team. And that's what Paul's saying. When we take our gifts and go home, we're missing from the body of Christ. And there are plays the Holy Spirit is calling, and we can't execute those plays because the gifted person is not in their position in the church. Because for some reason, they've opted out. They've taken their gifts and gone home. And so we weaken the body of Christ. You know, the one thing about this is that we can focus on imperfections, or we can focus on gifts. You know, I can say that, if you go back to the body of Christ, you could say, man, your feet smell, right? Some of you are built backwards. Your nose runs and your feet smell. But anyway, I'm going to give that a second. I'll let you just sink that one in. All right, so but think about that. So your feet smell, and what part of the body recognizes how bad the feet smell? The nose, right? So the nose might say, if the nose just focuses on the imperfection of the foot, the smell of the foot, the nose is going to say, we need to get rid of these feet, right? They're stinking up the whole body of Christ. Let's get rid of the feet. And if all they do is look at that imperfection of the feet, they'll miss the role of the feet, which is, if we fail to recognize that the feet are holding up the whole body of Christ. So if we get rid of the feet, where are we going to be? We're going to be falling on our face, and then my nose is going to be in the mud. Right? Because that's what the Holy Spirit helps us see the value and giftedness of each other despite how we smell sometimes. I had a pastoral friend say to me one time when he changed churches, you know, they did get rid of their pastor and he just went to another church. And I said, well, how's it going over there in that church? He says, well, different sheep, same smell. All right, so, you know, I could go all day with these folks. Just don't encourage me, right? Please do, all right. But I didn't finish my story from earlier. Remember, two groups. Matt, come on in. Get rid of our pastor for us. And my assessment was that this was a pastor with a proven track record. The church was growing again after decades of not growing. And I said to the leaders of that church, your pastor's staying. And after I said that, two leaders in that meeting stood up, resigned their positions in the church, and left the church. Wish I could tell you it was different. And that night, I think the church was weaker because they left. Because they were gifted people. Don't get me wrong. They had given a lot of their lives. They were gifted people, but they took their gifts and they went home and they weren't going to church anywhere, last I heard. So I would say the church was weaker that day when that happened. The other thing that happened is that after they left, guess what? The church just kept doing well. Pastor stayed in place later, retired a couple years later, but the church was doing well, was healthy, was moving ahead. And here's the point. It wasn't the people that needed to go. It wasn't their gifts that needed to be taken away from the church. It was their smell. It was their focus on the imperfection. It was their spirit and attitude of division that needed to leave the church. And when that spirit of division left the church actually started to thrive even more. See, what needs to go is not you. And not your gifts. What needs to go from the church sometimes is our stinking thinking. Amen.